Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Oh, I just saw this. This just kind of came across the line. You remember that Tiger Woods Golf League? The TGL, the Golf
League? Yeah,
the
indoor one, yeah.
Tiger and Rory?
Yeah.
Doing that? That starts January 7th.
No.
I just saw this. And you have guys that are assigned to cities, right, in this?
Mm.
So like Colin Morikawa, he's going to play for the Los Angeles Golf Club. Which I don't think is like the Los Angeles Golf Club, but it's just the golf club.
A Los Angeles Golf Club?
Yeah, yeah. You got Tiger Woods is playing for Jupiter Links.
Are they trying to make this like Live Golf where they have teams and such?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it
yeah.
all sounds kind of dumb,
yeah,
if
you
I'm
do.
Being honest.
What city do you think Rory McIlroy would be associated with?
Edinburgh.
Yeah, Dublin.
No, it's in the United States.
Indianapolis.
I was going to say, is there a...
No, he's from Northern Ireland.
I say Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Boston Common Golf. That's Rory's team. Yeah, Boston. They said they're like, yeah, we're going to send the Irish guy. He's definitely Boston.
Is Tiger Florida?
Yeah, he's Jupiter.
Yeah.
He's Jupiter Lynx right there.
From Boston.
Oh, yeah. That's such a great little jingle.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's
jingles rule. I don't know how we got in a discussion out at dinner the night, but... Like, we just started, like, naming jingles, and I was like, yeah, you know why you can do that? Because they work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I mean, it worked for my kid with Burger King, right? The whole BK, have it your way rule. He's like, we need to go to Burger King. I took him to Burger King once. He's like, I don't want to go back. But he still sings the damn jingle.
Well, I'll go. I'll get the chicken fries and a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Chicken fries. Blah.
Best thing on their menu is their French toast sticks. I love the Burger King French toast sticks.
Yeah, those solid.
Elite. All right. Jingles.
Where do we go from there?
Look, man, I just got to steer us off track. Doesn't mean I'm going to bring you back.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
Hey, Tua is back. Seriously, Tua Tagovailoa has been designated to return from the injured reserve. He has been in concussion protocol since week two. Tua will make a return to the Miami Dolphins. It may not be this week, but sometime in the near future.
Mike McDaniel saying he thinks it could be this week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would say that too if I'm the coach.
Yeah, lying through. They prepare for Tua, not Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. Tua today saying, because he was asked about this, and I think this is a legitimate question in a press conference that should be asked. He was asked about, you know, the people who worry about him getting hurt or maybe dying on a football field. He said, I appreciate your concern. I really do. I love this game, and I love it to the death of me. That's it.
Let's hope that's not the quote that we have to revisit.
Well, and he's not going to wear... The Guardian cap?
Yeah.
You sure as Clark?
He said he will not be wearing a Guardian cap. If you don't know what Guardian cap is, that's the soft shell that you see. A couple of guys, Jabril Peppers, truly bad guy, Patriot
horrible
safety.
Horrible person, but he was wearing one.
He was wearing one until he's like no longer playing football now.
Yeah, he's going to jail.
It's the Great Gazoo helmet.
Yeah, it's a soft cap that you put on. It is supposed to minimize minimize the impacts of these sub-concussive impacts. With Tua in this, like, if I was advising him, I would be making sure you're wearing that damn thing because anything that could happen, it's going to go a long way in helping you.
Where are his personal doctors?
But with the problem with Tua, though, in all of this, is that what he's dealing with is, like, it's actually something that the Guardian cap won't help. Like, if he smacks his head off the turf again like he has... Mm-hmm. He's still going to get a concussion, even with the Guardian cap on.
I mean, it might soften it, keep his brain from turning to mush.
Smaller, as they call it, the subconcussive hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what the Guardian cap would help with. You know, but his thing is he's whipping his head back off the turf. He's hitting his head into somebody's knee that's coming up. that isn't necessarily what the guardian cap is supposed to protect you from. If I'm him, though, I'm doing absolutely everything, though.
It might not help, but it can't hurt.
Yes.
No. No. And he said it's a personal choice. It's quite the personal choice. I'm on board with I don't think he should be playing again.
Yeah, no, I if I knew the guy, I would absolutely unequivocally tell him to hang it up. Your money's guaranteed, dude.
Well, and his mother has told him that, and he doesn't want to listen to her, so nobody else is going to get through to him.
And I'm sure there are people within that organization who have told him to hang it up.
Yeah.
And it's at some point, man, you know.
It's a scary situation.
It is.
Dude.
It's like it's like when a fighter gets punch drunk and you can see it coming. It's like, no, dude, you got to go.
Yeah.
You can't. Otherwise, you've seen what these guys end up later in life. I'm not just talking about Muhammad Ali and, you know, the effects that, you know, a degenerative brain disease has on you. But like when you take this many hits, we know now, even with the little that we know about the brain, we know that the concussions building up leads to problems.
Sure does.
So I truly, like, I get it in the sense of like wanting to play and the desire to play, but you don't, man.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that we're seeing it this early.
Mm-hmm. I thought at bare minimum he'd be out the rest of the year. At bare minimum. And then they'd reevaluate it in the offseason. Unless the Dolphins have a sizable insurance policy protecting them against everything, I don't think if I own the Dolphins, I don't think I'd be comfortable letting him play this year.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
This is a really interesting case seeing in front of our very eyes, man.
It's very, very weird. I would make him sit down the year and then have to revisit everything in the summer.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But, you know, I don't own not worth billions and not own a team that generates millions of dollars and, you know, jeopardizes other people's careers because they're playing with a quarterback who shouldn't be playing and everything else that comes with that. But, you know, I think it's bigger than all that.
I think he's also seeing, look, there's a ton of pressure on these guys, especially when you look at where the Miami Dolphins are right now without him. Those that said, you know, Tua was overrated or he didn't mean that much. He just had great weapons around him and a great offensive mind and Mike McDaniel. Mm. You are seeing with Tyler Huntley and Tim Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tyreek Hill and
Jalen Waddle.
Odell Beckham.
Oh yeah,
they looked like they were just quitting in that game.
They're gonna murder somebody.
Like they were just like, yeah, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
We're so done. We can't do this with these quarterbacks. And they have hit the skids. And when you have a team that has a bunch of talent on it, look, you hold the Indianapolis Colts to 16 points, you should be winning a game. Right?
Yeah.
You should be winning a football game in the NFL when you have, whether it's Achane, Mostert, Waddle, Hill, like you have weapons. You should be winning a game when your defense only allows 16. And especially when your defense is on the field for as long as they are because your offense is so bad. There is a pressure that Tua feels too of, I don't want to let all of these other guys down around me.
Yes.
And that is what sucks about.
And I bet you his teammates have told him, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but you still feel it.
You still feel it.
It's
sure.
The beauty and the curse of the relationships you've built in a locker room, right? The beauty is that you have these relationships that are fortified and they are for life. And you will ride and die with these guys forever. The curse in it is that you do it often at your own expense.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing with him.
And in that vein, this is an interesting note on Vancouver for text line. Should the Dolphins just cut him to save him? No one else would pick him up.
See, that's the hard part, though.
You couldn't guarantee it.
I mean, the Titans.
Raiders.
The Raiders. Aiden O'Connell's out again. Uh-huh. You're back to Minshew Mania. The Giants.
Also, the Raiders aren't tanking. I don't know if you heard AP.
The Panthers. Uh-huh. I think there are teams that'd be like, we'll give it a whirl.
And that's the problem is that you,
and if nobody does, then you have a collusion lawsuit on your hands because all of those teams that we just mentioned should sign Tua if the Dolphins cut him.
You'd have to get him medically retired.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be the worst. I would say if I'm the Dolphins, I would have thought about it. But then with the way the CBA is too, if they just cut him and say done, then they're screwed in the salary cap for years to come.
There needs to be a way.
Amnesty.
There needs to be an amnesty clause, and particularly for medical.
Yeah.
Particularly a medical amnesty.
Yeah.
But then again, at the same point.
Brandon Roy.
Well,
and just
the Browns
sure,
being able to get out of something.
I was going
to
say, and just make sure it's for a medical thing like Tua and not for the Browns.
Well, the Browns would
have that horrible, terrible.
The Browns would have
very
a cause for it right now. It's that simple. That's what I'm saying. With a ruptured Achilles, they would have a cause for it right now. So, yeah, that's where it gets a little bit dicey, for sure.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. Hey, let's do a little Big Ten whip around here. USC drops their third in a row, and this is where it gets a little bit shaky. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, I'll take a little whip around the Big Ten Conference. The Oregon Ducks shut out Purdue 35-0 on the road Friday night. First road shutout since 92. That's a long time. First shutout of any kind in over a decade for Oregon, too. That's pretty good.
Solid.
Pretty good things right there. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, Kurt Cignetti and Google Me Bitch, 56-7. They mopped the floor with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I was reading that Dylan Raiola has a quarterback rating of 44 against zone coverage.
Google me, bitch.
And about 90% of Indiana's coverage zone. Yeah, it looked like it. That played out. He was 28-44, 234 yards, 3 interceptions, 0 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Indiana is
a wagon.
Yeah, they're playing really well right now. And Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, he's unlikely to play this week.
Yeah, he ripped off his freaking fingernail.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, so they're hoping they can get... Look, UW is not an easy game to hope you can get by.
Well, no. Even Marcus Allen is like, you're a little baby.
But, yeah, I know, just cut the finger off.
Oh, Ronnie Lott.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Ronnie, apologies.
You're mixing up your Raider lore.
Damn it!
It's okay.
And SC players.
And SC legends.
Yeah.
But
I was close.
Indiana has a really good defense and a really good running game to go with it.
Their defense does not get enough credit for how good they are. They're amongst the leaders in the country in sacks, although they only had 2 this past week. It was enough. 56-7. That is the surprise of college football this year.
Yeah, not even close.
And they are playing really damn well.
And Nebraska's a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, the look, it's not...
I think the two
this
best
isn't the black
teams that
shirts.
They've played, they've gotten rolled by, but, you know...
But they're
okay.
My point is they're a good little squad.
Yeah, they're trending in the right direction.
For sure. I'm not calling them a national title contender.
It's a
good pelt on the wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, this isn't the 5-star pelt, but it's nice.
No. UCLA got their first win in the Big Ten.
Look at that.
Hey, they went out to Rutgers and they run away with a 35-32 win. Did not see that coming.
No.
Nope. But. UCLA gets their first win. Wisconsin went to Evanston, Illinois. They beat the bejeebers off Northwestern 23-3. I'm telling you, this Wisconsin team starting to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
After getting beat by both Bama and SC, their offense has been rolling. Mm-hmm. Their defense has been stymieing teams. They've only allowed in their last 3 games. Now, granted, it was Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern. They've only allowed 16 points in their last 3 games. Meanwhile, they're putting up 52, 42, 23 in those games. So
I'm telling you, that UO game at Camp Randall has Big Nooner written all over it.
Yeah, it's going to be
exciting. Pacific kick.
Oregon, Michigan is now a 12:30 kick on the 2nd Pacific time. Michigan did get beat by Illinois 21-7. Michigan can't throw a football, so...
Yeah, I saw a poll coming from one of the big Michigan accounts asking who should be their quarterback, and it was Orgy Tuttle. Who's the other another quarterback? But then they put Samaj, their wide receiver, Morgan, because it's like, screw it. If we're gonna have somebody back there who can't throw the ball, why not have it be like the fastest person in college football?
All right, let's get to your USC Trojans. Oof. They lose to Maryland 29-28. And blow another double-digit lead.
Another one. They have 4 losses on the season.
Uh-huh. 3 in a row.
3 in a row.
4 of the last 5.
And all 4 of them are losses in the final minute or in overtime in games that they led. And it's just maddening. And look, I coming into the season, I expected them to win 8, maybe 9 games. That was the bar. I didn't think this was this great team. But it is insane that essentially four plays this season separates them from being undefeated.
That is coaching.
It's just absolutely. And they're, again, I'm not saying that they could, should, would, or could, or it can be. But it's quite literally, in this game against Maryland, mm-hmm. you kick the field goal, the game's over. The field goal doesn't get blocked, it's over. Against Penn State, you get the pass interference flag. You have the ball at the 1 yard line with, what, 12 seconds to go. The game is over. You wrap up Donovan Edwards instead of having three guys bounce off of him. The game is over. If there's one single play in every one of these games, but the problem is it's coming down to those one plays because they're screwing up before
and
them.
That's the thing is that, like, if this was happening against Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State.
Coin tosses. But when it's happening against Minnesota and Maryland.
Yeah. And the talent gap is so much greater.
Particularly
in
the skill
USC's
positions.
Favor. That, to me, this is why Lincoln Riley's starting to feel it.
The defensive line.
And he should, because they're not playing. They're not disciplined.
No.
They're not playing good football. And this is like the trend. It's like, oh, hey, fire your Alex Grinch. Everything's going to mm-hmm. be fine. And they went out and they paid money
and they
to
were
get
trending
head
up.
Coaches to coach that defensive side of the ball. This is your head coach is now the guy that everybody's going to say, all right, man.
What's going on?
What is happening? You guys go and you start recruiting better. And I... like, their offensive and defensive lines, like, they do have some good young talent in there. But at the same time, it's like, they're better than Minnesota and Maryland right now.
Well, I don't know about better than Minnesota in the trenches.
I'm just talking overall. Yeah. They have no business losing those games.
Well, No, they don't. But here, this is not a but as far as losing. They absolutely, unequivocally should not lose those games. Absolutely not. When we were talking off-air last week, I said, there's probably one game on the rest of the schedule. And that was Notre Dame, where I was like, that's probably the one. Losing the Maryland game. That to me, losing the Minnesota game, shouldn't lose it. Full stop. But I was like, okay, that's the stupid game. You know, this is the stupid year. If that's the stupid game. Okay. Yeah. I think I wasn't happy with it, but, you know, that's how it goes. But I was diving into the end of the Maryland game. USC does not have a starting defensive lineman with a sack this year. Their sacks are coming from their DBs and their linebackers, and even then they're not getting that many pressures. And it's not because they're not blitzing. Danton Lynn is throwing a million different things at the wall. They're just not getting home.
Yeah.
They were already thin up front. And then Barry Alexander decided he was going to go, I'm in a red shirt, I'm out. And all of a sudden it just got so much thinner. And now you've got their back end is dinged up.
Yeah.
They've got the linebackers out for the season. Mascarenhas is dinged up. Akili Arnold is playing with one shoulder. I don't know if you saw the blown tackle that led to the touchdown.
They are more talented than 3 and 4.
Oh, God, yes. But they're so thin that the second they start picking up, we talked about this coming into the season, the second they started picking up injuries, it's just been a problem. And I didn't think Lincoln could hit the hot seat this year. If he got to 8 wins, like, sure, everyone's going to be frustrated because it's USC.
Yeah.
But after the Maryland loss, the seat went from, like, uncomfortable to absolutely unequivocally, no doubt, it's hot.
Rutgers is broken right now. They're going through a lot of the same things that SC is going through.
And
with
they're flying
the
across
war
the
of attrition, and it's an 8 p.m. kick this Friday, mm-hmm. Pacific, which means it's an 11 p.m. kick, Rutgers.
It's going to be brutal for those guys.
That sucks. You better not lose that one.
Oh, if they lose that one, they might leave Lincoln in the stadium.
Going to Washington is going to be, all of a sudden, that
it's a real test.
Seems a lot more difficult now than it was before, even though Washington and their resume has taken a bit of a hit lately. At the beginning of the year, we were sitting there going, all right, look at this Washington team. Now, you look at, after some of their wins that we were going, hey, this is not bad for you, Dub. They're actually positioning themselves pretty well here. You look at that Michigan win. A lot of the shine has come off of that one. Mm-hmm. The loss to Iowa. Iowa goes and they lose to, and this is the world of college football, right? Iowa goes and they lose to Michigan State. Rutgers loses to UCLA.
Hey, shout out Aiden Giles. Giles looked good.
Aiden Childs did look good.
He looked good.
He looked good. Northwestern loses to Wisconsin. Michigan loses to Illinois. And people are now questioning UW. I just don't take it on a week-to-week, right? But in Washington coming off a bye, they could be in a far better position moving forward. So that's no layup for USC. And then they got Nebraska at home. And Nebraska has been equally topsy-turvy as this USC team has been. Right? Like, they look really good some weeks, and then the other weeks, you're just like, what is this Nebraska team? There's no gimmies moving forward on this USC schedule when you lose the way that they have the last couple of weeks. Good thing is you get Rutgers at home, you get Nebraska at home, and you get Notre Dame at home, where they're playing far different football, right? The only loss that they have at home this year is that Penn State game, which is a three-point game to the number three team in the country. That's not, like, that is the head-scratching part.
Yeah. You see the variance. And that's the thing is, like, you can blame some of it on depth. You can blame some of it on, you know, getting some things right and getting away from being a team that was entirely built around Caleb Williams, which I was perfectly okay with because the first year was really good. But it's kind of funny. The Vancouver Vortex text line, Signetti to USC. I actually had somebody who I know who was like, hey, if they fire DeBoer in Alabama.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, first of all, Alabama's not going to do that because the buyout on him is going to be like, what? $60 million.
I mean, you could find somebody in Alabama that's willing to pay it.
I mean,
Jimbo Fisher, man, they did it for Jimbo. 75 for Jimbo.
Texas is a little bit bigger.
Yeah,
they had a few more millionaires in that booster pool.
Bama.
Look, if this was Arkansas, and that Walmart money might be interested.
I mean, look, Florida may be in
Billy
the hunt.
Napier, you know?
Billy. Actually, Florida's playing better.
Has he done enough to save his job?
No, but okay. Florida's playing better, and they actually have a quarterback that they can be like, hey, he's looking up.
Have you seen the man on the street
no.
interview?
No.
Oh, God. There's a Florida media guy who goes out in the streets and outside the swamp and asks about DJ Lagway, and she said he needs to play better music. In case you're wondering, she looks exactly like these things she looks. 11 out of 10. Complete smoke show. Really? You think so? She's like, I don't know who he is. I just imagine that his set list sucks.
The fire Billy Napier stretch, it starts right now. Have you seen their next four games?
Mm-mm.
At home against Georgia.
Oh, God.
On the road against Texas.
Oh, God.
At home against LSU.
Oh, God.
At home against Ole Miss.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, so they've looked better the last couple
of games.
That's
one of the most brutal stretches in the country.
Yeah, remember at the beginning of the year, it was they have the toughest schedule in the country.
Yeah,
it was not particularly close. But they played Tennessee to a one-possession game. They looked a lot better against Tennessee. That was their one blemish in the last month, was Tennessee. They went on the road up to Neyland, and they lost 23-17 on the road. Other than that, they beat Mississippi State. They beat Central Florida. They absolutely hammered Kentucky. They've looked okay. But then you play Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. But you get to finish it with Mike Norvell. How great would that be if the final game of the year, it was like Florida, Florida State, and they fly in, Kurt Cignetti is like, hey, winner gets Coach Cignetti. Firebolt to coaches. Winner gets Cignetti.
Have him say, look at my record.
You can't lose this one. He can't
Google
lose
me, bitch.
You want to get want to see them go all out.
It's a great line.
That's how they do it. All right. Man, is this why you're doing the earrings? Actually, another Vancouver Ford text line. Danny, I could see him now in his Reggie Bush jersey, cargo shorts, diamond earrings, listening to Linkin Park, trying to relive the USC glory days.
Bring it back, baby.
Maybe you're trying to bring back just the SC glory days.
Channel it. Yeah, because
that's what this is. It's not a midlife crisis. It's a rally for SC to be good again.
It's like a rally monkey of my own. It's true, because Hybrid Theory, Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory came out in 2003. Because I remember getting that on base at the BX. I got that
sure.
And 50 Cent.
Sure, Jan.
Both their albums.
Oh.
Came out the same week.
Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah.
There we go.
I vividly remember that.
50. The greatest thing about 50 Cent is that he went by 50 Cent until he went on The View. And Sharon Osbourne called him 50.
I was going to say, was it Joy Behar?
No, it was Sharon Osbourne. She gave him the fitty.
Fitty?
And wow. He ran with it.
Wait, so Sharon Osbourne made 50 Cent more hip.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Let me fact check this really quick, but I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that that's how it happened. Yeah, 50 Cent says Sharon Osbourne gave him the name 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, The View.
First time anyone's ever said that.
I was going to say, yeah, I did not have that on my bingo card today.
Lord knows.
Well, I'm obviously the second, because 50 says thank you, too. Mm. So the second person to do that. All right.
All right. Well, coming up next on Worst Day on the Web, it's a best day, worst day.
It's bad.
It's
no, this is all bad.
It's, I mean,
oh God, bad. Which one are we going with? Because we had so many options today.
No, no, it's got, it's
very dark.
Okay.
No, it has to go down one road and one road only.
Okay. We'll get to that in more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
The Cleveland Browns had a moment in the sun where they looked like they'd be a competent franchise.
I don't remember that.
They did. Their defense last year was incredibly good in spite of Deshaun Watson's arm completely falling off, and they did just enough to be pesky, you know, and they seem to be built on the back of their defense with Miles
Garrett.
Just
enough to be pesky. Look, Kevin Stefanski is a good coach.
Yes.
He's a good coach.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, Nick Chubb is a great running back.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a lot. They had a lot kind of going for them, mm-hmm. but they had a 225-pound anchor of piss and vinegar mm-hmm. in Deshaun Watson that has now is going to be out for at least a year. He suffered a non-contact rupture of his Achilles, which, look, I'm not going to cheer an injury of anybody not named like Adolf Hitler.
I will.
Or
I will. I'll cheer it. Good.
No, it's not
good. No. It is good.
No. Like cheering when somebody.
Sorry,
gets
he's a
hurt.
Terrible person and a terrible human being.
He is. I don't feel bad for Deshaun Watson,
no.
but I do not like the cheering of.
I guess
of
that's
injuries.
What I'll say. Yes, I'm sorry. Like, maybe I shouldn't like cheer, but I don't
no.
feel bad.
No, and that's
no.
the thing is like.
So
and instead, you had 70,000 people cheering
yeah.
when he went down because it was pretty evident what had happened. When you have the non-contact Achilles rupture and your leg just stops working, you kind of know.
Yeah, I don't wish good things to happen to Deshaun Watson.
No,
at
and
all.
You don't have to.
But I don't wish that people get, well, I, there's very,
sorry,
very,
I kind of do.
Few. I don't wish injuries upon anybody and I don't, I won't cheer when somebody gets hurt like that because, look,
that's a life-altering injury.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's life-altering damage that he did to a lot of women, too.
Exactly. That's why I don't
but
feel bad.
I just won't say yay
yeah.
for that. I just don't. I don't feel bad for him. There's a lot of guys I feel bad for. I feel bad for Tua.
Yeah.
Hell, I feel bad for Brandon Ayuk, who
probably
looks like
tore his ACL.
Tore his ACL.
Yeah, sure. I feel bad for those guys.
I feel bad for Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And what happened with him?
Yep.
I don't feel bad for Deshaun Watson, but I'm not going to sit there and cheer for anybody to get hurt.
And with
well, you guys are better men than I am. I guess.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks.
Because I will cheer for it. Sorry, he's terrible.
But then you had his teammates. Jameis Winston and Myles Garrett both get up in the post game, and do we have Myles?
Yeah, we got them both.
Myles Garrett's, you just got to hear it if you haven't heard it.
No one deserves that. I've seen him work his ass off to, you know, get back here, in here, and you know, put a smile on his face, and you know, try to put everything that's outside the facility behind him. You know, death threats, people coming to his house, people, you know, going after his family. No, like I said, no one deserves that. And I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually, you know, pretty consistent saying earned. He hadn't earned it and he doesn't deserve it. No, man does pretty much everything right. He's been a model citizen through college and most of the pros. He plays the game as hard as anyone I've seen. Puts everything on the line, willing to throw his body out there, and you know, he plays the game at 100 miles per hour, and you know, there's a risk of being injured, and that he took that risk. But we have to be there for him as a team, as an organization. We can't look down on a guy because of any mistakes on the field or anything off the field. We don't have anything. We don't have any more high ground to look down on the guy.
First of all, through most of his career, he's been a solid citizen. That's doing some serious work. Yes, you do have the moral high ground, and you should have the moral high ground to stand up and talk down to sexual offenders.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about this before the show, and there's a difference between reality and locker rooms. And you can say the same thing for reality and barracks when you're in the military. It's very, very, very similar because, to be blunt, people that play professional sports, not all of them, there are some, and the same is true of in the military, are some of the most disgusting, awful, vile, rotten humans you will ever be around for different reasons. In the NFL, it's money.
And then there's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. In the military, it's a lot of times it comes from socioeconomic backgrounds and the world that you kind of live in. Those two environments don't accept, but they ignore a lot of the stuff that makes people terrible because of what happens in those locker rooms. Mm-hmm. And the figuratively going to war in football and the literal going to war in the military. And it takes people like Myles Garrett, we'll hear from Jameis Winston here in just a second, and it warps your brain.
I mean,
I'm not excusing it, but it's a thing that does happen.
There is so much cringe in what Myles Garrett is saying there, all the way through from start to finish. And truly what it is the cult of a locker room.
Yes.
And it is everything that we do is to pull in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And we will put a lot of things aside because you are told in a locker room, I have to put aside any differences that I have with a person because we have a goal of the people within this locker room and on this team. And that cult of a locker room can go too far. This is like what they mean by it goes too far.
This is because leaps and bounds beyond it.
It is the excusing the inexcusable is what is happening. And look, this started with the Cleveland Browns' willingness to bring Deshaun Watson into the locker room. Mm-hmm. When they brought Deshaun Watson from Houston to Cleveland, knowing everything that is going on, okay, they said, we are going to accept this, and now you guys have to internalize this because of that locker room cult that every team has, that this is how we are going to be successful.
We remember this with the locker room with the Ravens, with Ray Rice. And recently, and obviously less grotesque situation, with Harrison Butker and the Chiefs. It doesn't matter. Right, left, white, black, doesn't matter what it is.
Well, you see it in the other part of that is what we talked about at the beginning of this hour with Tua and the Miami Dolphins, right? The cult of the locker mm-hmm. room, and that I will do absolutely everything I can for these guys in the common goal that we are all pulling for. Tua is putting his health and his safety in the rearview mirror.
The only time this ever jumped the shark is
that comment from Myles Garrett.
Well, no, Aaron Hernandez. Yeah. When all the other teammates put their hands up, like, yep, nope, we're good. Yeah. We want nothing to
distancing themselves.
And Mohsin Mohamed.
Yeah,
like those are the two.
Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth. Yeah. Like when there's murder, death, kill, 187, like that's the one place where you consistently see the line drawn. But other than that, like,
he was a model citizen
of his pro career.
What?
Like again, doing heavy lifting.
Golly.
We were up to 27 counts of sexual assault, and now a recent one that's going to probably go to trial.
What is Myles Garrett's thought on the late O.J. Simpson? Like, most of his life, he was okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Except for the killing.
He sold the hell out of some rental cars.
Golly.
He was really good at that, running through the airport.
Oh, let's not forget the armed robbery, which is the thing he actually went to jail for.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, Al Capone and tax evasion.
I just, that rationalization is beyond me. But
we know where it comes from.
I understand where they get to that point, right? I would love to hear what, Amari Cooper, who just got traded out of there, what he says. Like, what is
he
saying?
Now that he's not in that locker room?
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
That truth serum's probably pretty good.
We could probably hear from Jameis Winston if we wanted to.
Do you want to hear from Jameis?
Do we need to save that for the after the break?
Yeah, let's go to break. You want to hit on this some more?
I do.
All right, let's hit on this some more when we come back. Deshaun Watson has gone down with a ruptured Achilles. He'll likely be out for a year or close to. And with that injury, you had a raucous fandom in Cleveland that decided to come out and cheer Deshaun Watson's injury, which has stoked plenty of conversation. But his teammates, notably Myles Garrett in the postgame and then Jameis Winston again in the postgame, addressing what they felt was not deserved slight at their quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances.
Oh boy.
Especially for people who do right by you.
Did somebody
I'm grateful
die?
That I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And he put his body and life on the line for this city.
Really?
Every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him, he committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team.
I come from
the Deep South, Birmingham, Alabama, Bessemer, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down, but I will be the person to lift him up. And that, all of us have unique experiences. All of us have circumstances, conditions, and facts that we face every single day. And I pride myself in being a man of increase and being a man that wants the best out of everybody. I tell myself every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans. I know you love this game. When I first got here, I knew these were some amazing fans. But Deshaun was treated badly. And now he has to overcome another obstacle. So I'm going to support him. I'm going to lift him up. And I'm going to be there for him.
Oh, okay.
Because I see the way he fights. I see the way that he works. And I know who he is as a person and as an NFL quarterback. And that's all I have to say to address him. I'm sending up my prayers. I already prayed for his leg, and I will continue.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what Jameis is trying out for more, his deaconship or on First Things First.
Look, because both Myles Garrett and Jameis Winston could have just said, you don't have to like Deshaun Watson, but don't boo somebody when they get injured. That's the way I was raised. You know, and if
and kept it at
if
that.
Jameis Winston is sitting there like, I'm gonna lift people up. It's like, dude, maybe you should think about who you're lifting up right now, because there's about 27 women that would disagree on the human and the person that you're talking about with Deshaun Watson. Just spare me this crap.
And I mean, it also, look, Jameis has done pretty good on the whole rehab tour thing. Jameis Winston is also a guy who should maybe sit this one out. This is a guy with sexual assault and rape allegations in his past.
Yeah.
So maybe sit this one out, buddy.
Yep, I don't.
Offer your prayers, say, hey, don't cheer for a guy getting injured, and maybe leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean,
let's not speak on the character of people.
Like, I don't feel bad for Deshaun Watson. I'm just not a person that's going to cheer.
Not in the slightest.
I'm not going to cheer when he gets injured, because I don't do that when anybody gets injured. But I'm not going to sit here and defend him just because I'm not cheering. I get, like, are they so blind to not know anything about why these people are booing? Now, I think maybe what this is that they're looking at this from, they only believe they're booing him from a football standpoint. Because remember, this is the same Browns fan base that had the mannequin with the towel over its crotch at the tailgate lot for the first game of Deshaun Watson. Yeah. That were like, doesn't matter, he's our guy now. And really, those boos are coming from a football standpoint of Browns fans.
I will say, though, there was a – I have a lot of friends in Cleveland, weirdly enough, who the first thing I when I saw this, I texted a bunch of them, and they have told me that the majority of fans there did not want Deshaun Watson there in the first place because of all of the stuff in Houston. And then when he got the guaranteed deal, and then when he sucked on top of it, it was just more reasons. But they told me that the majority of Browns fans did not want Deshaun Watson. You saw the outliers of, like, remember the guy who brought his kid with the signs? Mm-hmm. That was nasty stuff. Yep. Like, and we're always going to remember the outliers, the ones that are just, and those people got absolutely bludgeoned for it. I do think that for the most part, Browns fans didn't want anything to do with him, but I think the exacerbation of how bad he has been on top of everything else and all the money.
Yep.
A little reminder here, the Cleveland Browns are the only team in the NFL have yet to score 20 points this season. In a game.
Golly.
That's a shame.
You hate to see it.
Boy, the Browns have...
took all of that goodwill and pissed it away, and now they're trying to build a new billion-dollar stadium.
What goodwill? They haven't built up any goodwill. They've just continued to squander it away.
Unless we're talking about a physical goodwill building next to the stadium.
Yeah. Like, come on. Just spare me this... Deshaun Watson's a great guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
BS.
Yeah, we don't need to go down
Jameis,
that road.
Jameis, I'm grateful to serve him. Yeah. Shut up.
Pray for him. Like, even Deion Sanders came out with a big old prayers up hands. Pray for Deshaun. What are we doing here?
No.
What are we doing here?
Man. It's all very, very weird. Coming up in hour number two, it's NFL. We have so much NFL. So we'll get into that in more. Coming up in hour number three on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.